Mr. Metal.
Dan Powell continued speaking, but Lannery could not hear. She adjusted some controls, checked transmit levels, but the storm's effects were insurmountable. Master, I'm almost at the old city. Are there Jedi there waiting for him?
It's withdrew, but there are safeguards,
Master Dan Powell said. She seemed to gather herself and stare at Lannery from the flat screen.
He must be stopped. Whatever is happening now, end it all.
Master?
I sense that everything is about to change,
Dan Powell said. She went to say something else, but the screen snowed, and her voice disappeared into a crackling haze of interference. Lannery tried one more time, then turned the comm unit off. What had she meant? A ship from out of system? One of the sleeper ships returned? Lannery was more than intrigued, but she was also set on her course, and Master Dan Powell's words did nothing to dissuade her.
Please, just land this thing, Tree said. I've got nothing else to throw up.
Almost there, Lannery said. She looked across at Tree, pleased that he seemed a little better. Perhaps whatever had poisoned him on Nox could be treated, given time.
What's the plan?
He asked. His Leku were stroking either side of his face as if giving comfort. Plan? She asked.
Is she always like this?
Tree asked Ironholgs over his shoulder, and Lannery smiled. The droid issued no reply. Some of its circuits were fried, and it was in need of repair. Again, given time. The ship jolted as a streak of force lightning arced down and split the sky. Lannery cringed and jerked the ship to one side. To crash now would be... A chime from the sensors. She leaned to the left and shielded a scanner from reflected light from outside, and then she saw it. Several kilometers in the distance, and at least 30 kilometers from the first ruins of the old city.
What now?
Tree asked. Crashed ship. She tweaked the sensor controls, then sat back and sighed in satisfaction. Something going for us at last.
His?
Yes. Death Blaster. Let's take a look. She brought the Peacemaker in low, the remaining laser cannons at the ready for any aggression. The Death Blaster might have been a wreck, but that didn't mean it didn't have fight left in it. She circled at a distance, scanning for life forms. There was nothing. If the Stargazers and her brother were still on board, they were dead. She felt a pang at that, unsure whether it was grief or regret.
Why not just blast it?
Tree asked. The ship had landed hard, gouging furrows from the soil across a low hillside, and then broken up when it struck a rocky outcropping. There was no sign of fire or explosion. Can't in case the device is still inside, she said. But that was not the whole reason. Setting down. They landed with barely a jolt, and the Peacemaker seemed to croak and sigh with relief. As she was about to speak, Trey held up one hand.
Who's going to look after you if I stay here?
I was just going to say, you don't need to come, Lannery said. This was never really your fight. Tree's face darkened, and his Leku dipped to communicate anger.
It's everyone's fight, he said. We just happen to be the only two here.
You sound like a bad Hollow. Lannery smiled and opened the hatch. Hand on sword hilt, force senses fogged by the storms that raged across Tython's surface, she stepped down onto her home planet one more time. They split up as they approached the crashed Stargazer ship, and Lannery's nervousness grew. She did not want to find her brother dead among the wreckage. Whether that said she was a good person, whether it spoke of an unreasonable sense of forgiveness, she did not know. It simply was. She had always held out hope for him. Even as he turned that blaster on her, and she had a split second to partially shield herself with the Force, she had felt so sorry for him. A fool, perhaps, but a sister for sure. She hoped her parents would be proud. Lannery closed on the ship and probed outward with her Force senses. She could not detect anyone inside at all. Tree approached slowly from the other side, and when he hefted a rock and threw it at the hull, she ran forward to tackle anyone who emerged. but all was silent. She climbed the tilted hull and shone a glow rod through a smashed door. The insides were a mess. Crushed paneling, hanging wires and cables, a tumbled seat, and hardened impact foam formed around the empty shapes of at least four people. She could see two bodies still encased in foam, and the parts exposed were badly mutilated by the crash. Lannery signaled for Tree to wait where he was, then climbed inside. Neither body was Dale's. She breathed a sigh of relief, then jumped at a particularly strong crash of lightning from outside. There was no sign of the device, and no evidence of a battle or being shot down. The force storm had downed this ship, and she wondered at the stroke of luck. She touched the hull on the way out, then slid down the ship's back to the engine cowls. They were still almost too hot to touch. 30 kilometers to the old city, and they're on foot, she shouted.
How long ago?
Tree asked. Not long. Still hot. But we need to hurry. They ran back to the Peacemaker, and Lannery took off and drifted them quickly across the landscape. Tree sat beside her and kept his eye on the scanners as she steered them through valleys and around rocky summits. She was more than aware of the element of surprise they had on their side once again. Dale thought she was dead. Approaching the old city, she experienced flashbacks of the last time she had been here. After finding Dale's bloodied clothing and believing him dead, she had returned to Anil Kesh to face the repercussions of his final acts. Following the inquest into Scott Yoon's murder, for which blame was laid squarely on Dale, she had been granted a period of leave, during which she had traveled home and told her parents everything that had happened. They had blamed themselves, and Lannery had blamed herself. A distance had grown between them, and when the time came to embark upon the rest of her great journey, alone this time, a situation she would grow to prefer, she had grabbed at it. She had never returned to the old city. Dale was dead and gone. Some thing had taken him down, and there was nothing to be gained from visiting that place again. Besides, there was the sense of fear that had flooded her, which she had attributed to the immense age of the place, the unknown history, the mystery that even the Force could not enlighten. She had never spoken of it. She believed that place should always be left alone. And now, here she was again. Sensors don't show any life forms, she said.
No Jedi here? Surely they'd be guarding against him getting past you.
I think Master Dan Powell said they withdrew. She pointed up at the sky. There's something else going on.